All right, look there at verse 13. Verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Our text verse this morning asks a question that should cut through to the heart of every person in the room this morning. What is your life? Have you ever considered that question for yourself? What is your life? Well, the verses we're looking at this morning give us some answers right away. For example, our life is uncertain. The Bible says that we don't know what's on tomorrow. Now, you may have your plans for tomorrow. You may say, preacher, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning like I always do and hit the freeway and go to work, and I'll take lunch at 11 and get off around 4 if I'm lucky, and maybe 5 or 6, and go home and watch Monday night football, and I know what I have planned for tomorrow. The fact of the matter is that my life is uncertain. I really don't know what could be waiting for me tomorrow. Another thing we see is that our lives are gifts from God. God compares our life to a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. But I find it interesting that God chose to use this term to describe my life, because in Genesis, the Bible says when God created Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And so that life that God has given me is like a vapor, but it's the gift from God. And you should always look at your life as a gift that God has given you. And the existence that you have, the opportunities that you have, the gifts that you've been given, the talents that you possess, are all a gift from God. There's no one else in the world just like you. God made you as a unique individual among all mankind. And God has a purpose for your life. So life is uncertain. Life is a gift from God. And then the third thing we see is life is short. Talking about our physical life on earth, God says that our life is like a vapor. You know, as we're getting into the colder weather month of the year, might get that later in Texas, the cold weather month we have, not season. And it starts to get cold in the morning, and you see your breath in the morning, and then it vanishes away. That's what our life is like in the grand scheme of things compared to eternity. My life is just a little vapor, a little blip on the radar, a little time span of maybe, if I'm fortunate and I'm blessed, 80 years, maybe 85 years, maybe 90 years. Even if I live to that great length of time, the last few years might be extremely hard. And what is that compared to eternity? So life is a gift, life is uncertain, and life is short. But I want to talk to you this morning about how to make the most of your life. We know that life is short, we know that life is uncertain, but how can I make the most of my life? There's nothing worse than a wasted life. Nothing worse than a wasted life. I used to go preach once a month at the Dallas Juvie Facility. How many of you know what the Juvie Facility is? That's the juvenile jail. And some of us from our church would go down and we would preach every week, but we'd alternate and I'd preach once a month. And you'd go in there and you'd see kids that were 10 years old. 10 years old. 10 to 17. And because they fell in with the wrong crowd, or because they were the wrong crowd, because of the decisions that they made, they're now no longer at home, no longer in public school, no longer able to enjoy freedom, because even as little kids, and some of them, they're going to go in at 10 and they will stay all the way through to 17 and possibly go from there into the rest of the penal system. And I would go there and I'd see these kids and their flip-flops and their pants with no belts. And I think, what a waste of a childhood. To make a decision that would cost you 7 or 8 years of your youth, your entirety of your youth,
to be spent behind a razor wire, behind a chain link fence. Thankful just to get a cup of Kool-Aid and a cookie that we would bring for the kids. And that was a treat for them. I preached once at Brother Athey's prison system, or prison ministry, and I shook hands with hundreds and hundreds of men, and that many of them will never see the outside of a prison wall the rest of their life. Some of them have been in since they were 20 years old, and they will spend the rest of their days in a prison cell, in a prison block. They will never see the outside of the prison again, and their whole life is spent in prison because of a decision they made when they were younger. And I thought, what a wasted life to be born in this great country where there's so much opportunity and to spend it behind prison walls. But you know, not every wasted life is spent in prison. There are others who, they're free, but they're wasting their days and they're wasting their years and they're wasting their lives. And so this morning, I want you to consider five ways to make the most of your life. Five ways to make the most of your life. Number one, remember God. Remember God. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So it's a challenge to young people especially. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It goes on to describe old age and the hardships and difficulties of growing old and the body beginning to fail. And God says, remember me now. Consider me now. Put me in your life now, before the evil days come, while you still have your strength and you still have your life ahead of you. Don't give me your pocket change at the end of your life. Give me your life now and remember me now in the days of your youth. You know, young people, you don't have to ruin your life as a child, as a teenager. You know, there's some kids today, not all kids, and these kind of kids have been around in every generation. But dropping out of school is one of the dumbest things you'll ever do. You want to mess up the rest of your life, drop out of school. One of the most important things you can have in your life is a high school diploma. Now, I know you can get around that. My mother dropped out of high school and got married young, and she went back later and got her GED, and that's a great way to go, and I respect my mom for that. But I'll tell you, young people, and I don't mean any disrespect to any adults who didn't finish high school, but I'm just talking to the young people this morning. You should at least make sure you finish high school. You'll be so much further ahead in life if you just make sure you finish high school. Don't be a school dropout. And then so often they mess up their life by getting into drugs when they're teenagers. And start drinking when they're teenagers. When we moved to Weatherford, Texas, I was amazed at Weatherford High School. Our town had a population of about 10,000 back then. One high school, now I think they have two. One high school, and it seemed like 80% of the teenagers were drinking every weekend. And some of those went to church. But they'd go party and drink. Or they'd party and dope. Or they'd party and get involved in all kinds of sinful behavior. That, listen, that may seem like fun when you're young and you're a teenager, but I promise you, you're just picking up baggage that you're going to have to try to get rid of for the rest of your life. It's far better to remember God in your youth. Nobody ever went wrong fearing or following God. No one ever went wrong fearing or following God. Now, it's not just for teenagers. What about young adults, college age, young couples, young families? Remember God. It's so easy to get busy doing a million things that we forget God in our daily life. You know, the teenage years are full of temptations. College pulls many away from the Lord. They go off to college to get a degree so they can have a career in life. And unfortunately, they get into the party lifestyle, or they just get so busy doing homework that they don't have time for God on Sunday anymore. And they get out of the habit of going to church, and then they get their career, and they're working all the time. And before you know it, they're old, they have kids. Now they don't have time to take their kids to Sunday school. And before you know it, their whole life has passed by, and they have forgotten God. So God says, remember me in your youth. Remember me before the evil days come. Consider me. Remember me. Put me into your life. You know, church allows us to keep God in our minds and in our schedules. But it's important if you want to make the most of your life as young people, as young adults, as middle-aged folks, as older folks, and you say, what can I do to make the rest of my life count for God? You've got to remember Him. You've got to remember Him and put Him in your life. All right, number two. Resist temptation. If you want to make the most of your life, resist temptation. Sin always destroys. Those kids sitting in juvie, why are they there? Sin. The wino on Skid Row, why is he there? Sin. People in shelters, why are they there? Well, a lot of different reasons, but sometimes it's because of sin. The dope head, they can't even think straight. Why? Because of sin. The drunk whose brain has lost brain, his brain doesn't function properly, and he's in a haze all the time. Why? Because of sin. Sin always wrecks and destroys, and it leaves scars and ruins. And even though sin can be forgiven, sin often still leaves scars behind. A few minutes of sinful pleasure, or a few months of sinful pleasure, or a few years of sinful pleasure are not worth the decades of heartache and shame that sin brings in the end. Listen to Proverbs 6, God's instruction for the young man, talking about the evil woman. Just as applicable for the young woman and the evil man. But it says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, is this woman strange because her hair is purple? Or spiked? She's called the strange woman because it's not your wife. Any woman that's not your wife is the strange woman. And here he says you're to keep you from her flattery. And it says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You want to enjoy life? You want to make the most of your life? Resist temptation. One of the fastest ways you can wreck your life is to cheat on your spouse. Now they had this thing where this adultery site, and they someone hacked it and found all these names. And hey, you don't have to worry about my name being on there. And I tell you, when Christians want to flirt with sin and they want to get into pornography and get into stuff and looking at things they shouldn't look at and flirting with people they shouldn't be flirting with and being flirted with without resisting that, they're setting themselves up to hurt themselves and to hurt their families. And God says that's a reproach that's not wiped away. It's a scar that doesn't stop hurting. You know, David went through the first 50 years of his life living for God. And then one day he stayed home from battle, got up on the roof of his house and looked over. And I've been where they've excavated David's palace. And it's on the side of a hill and you can see houses down below. And I can just picture in my mind, he looks down and sees Bathsheba bathing herself, probably thinking that there's no one in the world that can see her. David looked, he lusted, he called for her. They committed adultery. And it was a one-night stand, but it led to a whole bunch of heartache and sin in David's life. Led to the murder of Uriah. Led to a hasty marriage, led to a dead baby. And from 50 to 70, David's life was nothing but heartache and sorrow. The sword didn't leave his house. I'm telling you folks that if you want to make the most of your life, resist temptation. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Learn to say no. Quit giving in to peer pressure. So what if everyone else seems to be doing it? Get out of that crowd. Well, my friends wanted to do it. Well, get better friends. George Washington said it's better to be alone than to be in bad company. And many folks, they smoke their first cigarette, they drink their first liquor, they smoke their first joint, they snort their first line because they were with people who introduced them to it. You stay out of bad friendships, you'll have a much better life on down the road. Resist temptation. Living righteously is the best way to live. I saw a sign on the back of some guy's car. What's wrong with doing right? Now, I know some young people that think it's not any fun. Let me ask you, is alimony fun? Is child support fun? Is detox fun? Is getting arrested fun? Is living with a DUI the rest of your life fun? Is jail time fun? Is guilt fun? Is divorce fun? Is a broken home fun? Is addiction fun? Is disease fun? See, when I was a kid, my older brother, he lived totally for himself. It's been his MO his whole life. You know what I saw? I saw he was an athlete. He had all the girls in his life. He had the bad friends in his life. He got into the drugs and everything. You know what? Where it ended up? He ended up on the back porch of our house, lying in his own vomit after an attempted overdose, as an attempted suicide by overdose. And I saw him go through detox. I saw his marriages fall apart over the years. I've seen all of that because sin is not nearly as much fun as advertised. You think I'd trade my family for that? You think I'd trade my life for that? No, sir. Now, you think you're better than your brother? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that decisions have consequences, and if you want to have the best kind of life and enjoy the fruit of your ways, then make sure that you make the best decisions in life. And later on, you'll enjoy the benefits of it. Living righteously leads to the best results in life. So remember God. Number two, resist temptation. Number three, redeem your time. Redeem your time. Ephesians 5 says we're not to live as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now here's the thing about time. Once you spend it, you can never get it back. It's gone. Yesterday's gone, you're not going to get it back. One day they build a time machine. No one's going back in time. Nope, not going to happen. When the day is gone, it's gone. When the year is gone, it's gone. When your youth is gone, it's gone. When your life is gone, it's gone. And so we cannot buy back time. It's gone. But I can make the rest of my time count for God. That's what redeeming the time means. Here's what the Bible says to those who get saved later in life. All right? How many of you got saved as an adult? All right? I didn't. I got saved as a teenager. Many of you got saved as adults. What do I do with the rest of my time? I can't go back. My teenage years are gone. My childhood's gone. Maybe my college years are gone. Maybe my 20s are gone. What can I do with the rest of my life? This is what Peter said. Peter said that he, the Christian, should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You can spend the rest of your life feeling bad about the early part of your life, or you can say, you know what, I've got the rest of my time. I'm going to spend the rest of my time doing the will of God. And that's what Peter said to do. We ought to spend the rest of our time doing the will of God. Now, to make the most of your life and to redeem your time, you've got to set some priorities. You've got to set some priorities. Number one, God deserves to be honored with my time. God deserves to be honored with my time. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, like clockwork. You say, you have to. You're the pastor. I'm the pastor because I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Before I was the pastor. It's clockwork all year long, just like since I was 16 years old. You see, preacher, you preach about this all the time. Because I think it's so important that you need to schedule God into your calendar. And I put it in stone. It's written in concrete. It doesn't change. I can count on a carpenter's hand how many days I've missed church as an adult. You know what a carpenter's hand is? Missing a finger or two. See, have you ever been sick? Of course. I'm talking about too sick to go. It's got to be pretty bad for me. And when we had sick kids, everyone has sick kids, one of us would stay with the kid and wipe his nose, and one of us would go to church. Usually, since I'm the pastor and y'all expect me to preach, it's her when they were smaller. If one of us was sick, the other went to church. If Joe was sick, all six of us didn't have to stay home to hold his hand. And it's just because God deserves to be honored with my time. And nothing else is allowed to interfere with those times. If relatives come to town, they either come to church with us or they sit at home without us. because God deserves to be honored with our time. And then, may I say in your list of priorities that your marriage deserves time. Your marriage deserves time. Now, you spent time together before you got married. You need to spend time together after you get married. My wife and I courted for 3 years. We've been married for 21. We didn't get all our loving in the first 3 years. We got 21 years together and we got who knows how many more to go. Now, I'm saying that if you're married, you ought to spend time on your marriage. But so often, we don't have dates. You ought to still date your spouse. Amen. And don't spend your whole date time staring at your phone. Spend time together. Go do things together. It's important. And the longer you're married, the more important it is. And all you wives ought to be elbowing your husbands, backing me up right now. Amen. Your marriage deserves time. Spend time together. As our kids get older, Mrs. Rasmussen and I enjoy spending more time together. Just us. Doesn't bother us at all to leave the kids at home. They know where the guns are. They're fine. But your marriage deserves time. Let me say in your list of priorities that your children deserve your time. Your children deserve your time. They're going to be grown up and gone before you know it. I have to, you know, come to the conclusion. I'm very conscious of things like this, but I realize within 6 years our house is going to be empty. 6 years. I'm also very conscious of the fact that within 6 years, we may not have parents anymore on earth. We may not have kids in the house. A lot of things could change in the next few years in our family. And I'm very conscious of the fact that I've already got one gone and three more leaving in the next 5 or 6 years. And I want to spend time with my kids, not look back and say, man, they're gone now. I wish I'd spent time with my kids. Spend time with your children. Spend quality time. Let me say this to the kids. Kids, listen. Be fun to be with if you want your parents to spend time with you. Your parents try to spend time with... Listen, I'm not going to get on to you, but I'll tell you what I see out sometimes. I see parents with their kids walking through the store, and here's the parents up here, and their kids are 10 steps behind like they're embarrassed to be seen with their parents staring down at their phone the whole time. You know, they say in the evolutionary process that in 100 years... That all human beings may be like this. Or other times I see the parents and they're obviously trying to spend time together as a family and here's the kid. What do you think about this? Now, if you were my kid, I wouldn't want to spend time with you either. I'd rather work overtime. I'd rather get paid like Brother Camp to deal with people like that. I mean, I like that my kids actually act like they're having fun with me. It makes it a lot more enjoyable. But parents, our children deserve our time. And then we say your career deserves your time. You got to earn a living. And some people are just lazy. Let me say this also, that career development takes time. You know, if you want to have a good job these days, you got to stay on top of stuff. I'm just trying to be a blessing, trying to be helpful. But you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and the economy still stinks. I know we got all that hope, but all I got was change. Pocket change. And I tell you, I asked a man one time, I said, why did you get your master's degree? He looked at me, he laughed, he said, so I can keep my job. I said, your bachelor's degree and working 15 years for the company wasn't enough? He said, no, I'd get a master's. My boss told me if I didn't get this, I couldn't stay. I mean, you got to stay on top of stuff. And you ought to ask yourself, especially younger people, what you're doing now, is that what you want to do the rest of your life? Because I think that some younger people ought to maybe go to trade school, get a trade, go to career college, go to night school, do something. Unless you're content where you are, stay on top, continue to grow, spend the time necessary to get yourself ahead, to give yourself the skills and the ability to succeed in life and provide for your family. So your career deserves your time, and then your spiritual life deserves your time. You got to spend time in your Bible and spend time in prayer. Your personal life deserves some time. You need rest. Not 12 hours a night, but you need rest. You need exercise. I'll move on from there. Entertainment. Fun. A hobby. The problem is so many people, they spend all their time on this and they ignore their wife and their husband, their spouse, their kids, their God, their everything. And they're all focused on their hobby. It's okay to have a hobby mixed in with the other things for refreshment. But man, don't let it dominate your life. But there is some time for personal life. And then we say your extended family deserves some time. By extended family, I mean your parents, your grandparents. Don't live like they're already dead. Now you got Thanksgiving coming up. Can I tell you, I don't have a great time visiting family on Thanksgiving. Our family's all splintered and half them don't like it, the other half. It's just crazy. But I go to be with my parents. I go to see my grandparents, grandmothers on both sides. I want my kids to see their grandparents, something I didn't have when I was growing up, 1,000 miles from everyone. They're going to be gone before you know it. Spend time. Redeem the time. When you get to the end of your life, will it be full of regrets? And when your life flashes before your eyes, will you see a life that mattered? Or will you just see a list of high scores in a computer game? Or will you see a bunch of fish that you caught? Or will you see family memories and time spent with your spouse and time spent with your kids and things done for God? Will you see, what will you see when your life flashes before your eyes? Redeem the time. Remember God. Resist temptation. Then fourthly, render some good works. Render some good works. Now, I know these points all kind of overlap. But don't just live for the two M's, me and money. I think in America, the three most important people in some people's lives are me, myself, and I. But you know, Christianity teaches us to do good works, which means to think of others ahead of ourselves. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved to do good works. Living for yourself and living for money is a very shallow kind of existence. I remember one time one of our kids was small. I won't say who. But Becky said, she was a little bitty girl. She said at the kitchen table, she said, I wish I had money. Or she said, I wish I was rich. And I said, Becky, what would you have if you were rich? She's thought about it for a second. She's like 3 years old. She said, money. And I said, Becky, one day you'll understand that that's all some rich people have is money. That's all they got. And you can't buy all the blessings that God gives us. But I tell you, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved to do some good works. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The Bible says we're to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible says we're to be careful to maintain good works. The Bible says we're to consider one another to provoke to good works. See, good works ought not be pushed out because we're working all the time. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for anybody else. We need to make sure we schedule time to do something for others, do something for the Lord. Commit some random acts of charity. Get involved in church ministry. Get involved in helping people. Give to missions. Fill your life with good works if you want your life to count. So remember God, resist temptation, redeem your time, render some good works, and finally, receive Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved, receive Jesus as your personal Savior. You're made for His glory, made in His likeness, but sin separates us from God. The Bible says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I don't envy an unsaved rich person. I can't have the stuff they have, but I like the stuff I got, so it's okay. I tell you what I do have a home in heaven. And I know that when I die, I'm going there. And I can't buy that and you can't buy that, but you can have it for free if you receive Jesus as your Savior. Are you making the most of your life? Are you making the most of it? What if it ended this week? And by next week, we're preparing for your funeral. What if it ended this week? Would you be happy with what your life is for the Lord? Remember God, resist temptation, redeem your time, render some good works, and if you're not saved, receive Christ as your Savior.